Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. On today's program, I'm going to share the letter I wrote to Elon Musk, the founder of PayPal and the man behind Tesla Motors and the pioneering private space exploration company, SpaceX. Mr. Elon Musk, Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, Rocket Road, Hawthorne, California. Dear Mr. Musk, I recently watched the interview you gave to the World Post, and I was struck by your insights into the demographic decline of that part of the human population of this planet on which we absolutely depend for the continuance of our civilization. I was honestly amazed that you, unlike most men who have achieved eminence and who hence have a great deal to lose, took on without any apparent hesitation an issue that is surrounded by a quasi-religious taboo, a taboo even greater than the taboo the imams put on images of their prophet, the issue of human quality. As a man of the world, I am sure you know about that taboo. Yet, like both Crick and Watson, you nevertheless chose to violate it. This speaks well of you. It speaks of your concern for our looming demographic death, and it also speaks of courage and passion. It is a passion I have shared for the last 33 years. I hope you will not think me arrogant when I say that I write you to expand your knowledge on this issue. There are vital aspects to it, aspects also subject to an equal or even greater taboo that must be considered. I will intersperse my comments between your answers, mostly from the section of your interview titled, What Challenges Lie Ahead? You were asked about the three greatest challenges to our civilization, and you answered, quote, I think demographics is a real issue. People are not having kids in a lot of countries. And very often people will say, we'll solve it with immigration. But immigration from where? Many parts of Europe have an average birth rate of only 50 or 60% of what's needed for replacement. Or China, for that matter, they're at 50% of the replacement rate. Where exactly are we going to find 600 million people to replace the ones that were never born? Close quote. After making that statement, you were chided by some writers for supposedly ignoring the huge problem of overpopulation. But I suspect that you were not ignoring that problem in your own mind, though you did fail to mention it, and it would be preposterous to suggest that you are unaware of it. What these writers were saying, in effect, was, what the hell? Here we are on track to have 9 billion people in the world, with all of the environmental disasters that that entails. And Musk is saying the major challenge we face is a lack of people? Is he crazy or what? No, you are certainly not crazy. But you knew very well that you were stepping into the minefield that surrounds the forbidden yet indubitably true idea that human beings are not equal. Not equal as individuals, and not equal as races, nations, or populations. And you wanted to get your ideas across without the screaming banshees of political correctness drowning you out. I really don't blame you for failing to use the more frank and direct approach that I've been using, which would be to say this, we have far too few of the right kind of people and far too many of the wrong kind. What you were saying, without saying it too bluntly, is that the people we need, the kind of people we'd prefer to have, the kind of people who more than pull their own weight, who more than support themselves, the kind of people who invent great things, are not reproducing themselves. Yet I am sure that you and all of us with eyes to see the devastation of our natural world would acknowledge that we have far too many of the other kind of people. You continued, quote, "The Chinese have just lifted their one-child policy, but I doubt it will have an effect. That is not the reason couples are having only one kid. There hasn't been a one-child policy in Europe, in Russia, or in Japan. Why are they having only one child?" Close quote. Here you are talking about Russia and the rest of Europe. Here you are talking about Japan and China. You are talking about the two major intelligent races of mankind, races which founded great civilizations. You are not, I notice, talking of mestizos or Africans or Arabs, whose surging and, frankly, lower quality populations are flowing into the West, and who, because of the policies of our own governments, are poised to replace us in the nations we founded. You are making a crucial distinction here, and that distinction is between the general, nominally human population, which is not, to put it mildly, in decline, and the population of civilization bearers, parts of which face near-term extinction. Surely you realize that the real danger here is the demographic death of the white race, since you can easily see that Japan and China, which, as you point out, is phasing out its one-child policy, are not so insane as to commit suicide via immigration and miscegenation. This is something that is only happening to white countries. The only white country that has seriously addressed its own demographic decline is Russia, which, instead of importing non-whites, has recently instituted policies which don't go nearly far enough, in my view, to increase the native Russian birth rate. The Russian ambassador to NATO, Dmitry Rogozin, spoke of the same distinction you made when he spoke of our endangered Northern civilization, as he calls it, of which Russia, the rest of Europe, and America are leading members, peoples who, in Rogozin's view, must become concerned for the survival of their common civilization. And surely a man such as you can see that the white race, though slightly less intelligent on average than the Asians, has a uniquely creative intelligence and a class of uniquely gifted geniuses that has made it the driving force of innovation, science, and culture, without which civilization as we know it could scarcely exist. The bell curve that describes our intelligence is broader, with a higher percentage of our population in the IQ stratosphere, and the nature of that intelligence is different in kind as well as in magnitude. But European civilization is committing suicide, its members having, as you said, one child, even without having a government policy mandating that. The truth is, Mr. Musk, that the Jewish power structure is very strong in the West, and that Jewish power structure is determined to undermine the founding white majority in every nation where such a majority still exists. They do this not by legislating one-child laws, but by fiercely lobbying for open borders, promoting miscegenation of whites with humanity's lowest quality stocks, encouraging non-procreative sex among whites, and by creating, with their financial power over politicians and their media and academic power over public opinion, creating a moral climate in which it is considered wrong and even evil for whites to fight or even express concern about their own dispossession and looming extinction. Yet we know that the Jewish state itself, which these same financiers and media moguls support, is the most intensely racially conscious nation on earth. Paradoxically, it appears that the Jewish leadership intends their people to be the only white or partly white people allowed to exist beyond the next few generations. Not only is this selfish hubris almost beyond belief, it is also doomed and unworkable. And it is also genocide. The Jewish leaders are certainly powerful, but it would be hard to make a case that they are rational. And they are leading us all to a disaster of cosmic proportions. Perhaps your experiences with Mark Zuckerberg's pro-immigration FWD.us gave you some insight into this. You continued, quote, "I think people are going to have to come to regard, to some degree, the notion of having kids as something of a social duty. Within reason, if you can and you're so inclined, you should. Otherwise, civilization will just die, literally. There is one thing that is certain. If the people go away, so will civilization." Close quote. Indeed, Mr. Musk, if the civilization bearers go away, so does civilization. It is doubtful that the masses of the third world can even maintain a civilization that is given to them, much less create one or advance the one they were handed. Liberia is a perfect example. Founded with all good intentions by anti-slavery activists who wanted to give the freed slaves there every possible advantage and even a near duplicate of the United States Constitution, Liberia has degenerated into just another African basket case, as the video I republished yesterday on National Vanguard makes abundantly clear. I'll embed that video here so everyone who reads this open letter can see it. While you are building spaceports, Mr. Musk, the Liberians are eating each other and wallowing in superstition and degradation so low that they can hardly be thought of as human and cannot be witnessed without physical revulsion and sickness. The discomfort of the white narrator of this film is obvious. He tries to laugh it off, but again and again his face shows the shock of having all his implanted illusions of equality shattered in the most dramatic ways imaginable. The pit of subhumanity, called Liberia, is clearly where Baltimore, Maryland, and Ferguson, Missouri are headed. They're already halfway there. So is Johannesburg in the country of your birth, something which I doubt I have to point out to you. South Africa has gone from a white-run, first-world country of astounding scientific innovation to a pest hole of AIDS and juju in just a single generation. We in America, and in all of the white world under American domination, are headed at super locomotive speed in the same disastrous direction. You could have a role in stopping that genocidal, intelligence-killing, and consciousness-killing train. You continued in your interview, quote, "The birth rate is strongly inversely correlated to wealth, inversely correlated to education, and positively correlated to religion. So the more religious you are, and the less educated, and the poorer you are, the more kids you will have. This is true between countries and within countries. I think if you were to state the threats to civilization, the lack of people is obviously a threat. We are going to face in the mid part of this century, and particularly in the latter part of this century, a demographic implosion the likes of which we have never seen, including the Black Plague. The math is obvious. When did China ever experience a 50% reduction in its population? The answer is never. Basically, if it ever did happen, it happened pre-writing, because no one's ever written of such a thing. Even when the Black Plague came through Europe, they might have lost a quarter, but never a half of the population. And yet, we have modern Spain with a birth rate that is 50% of replacement. It's as if someone went through and killed half the population, the future population. Something better happened to turn this around, because otherwise you have an inverted demographic pyramid and it's going to collapse. At this rate, the only thing that'll be left will be robots. Close quote. I think I need to correct you here. The only things that will be left will be the civilized Asians, a small and probably temporary and unsustainable elite of Jewish financiers, and a crumbling, doomed remnant of Western civilization, tenanted mainly by the likes of the Liberians and Mestizos. With all due respect to the civilized Asians, this means our death, and the death of the hope that our civilization can transcend the bounds of Earth. You go on, quote, three generations of a 50% of replacement birth rate gets you to 12% of your former population. And those 12%, all they're going to be doing is taking care of their grandparents. Eventually, there just won't be people at that rate. Close quote. Another small correction, Mr. Musk. They'll be taking care of their grandparents only if they can successfully prevent themselves from being slaughtered by the teeming and starving and angry masses they have brought into their nations and who implacably hate them. Quote, another threat to civilization is religious extremism, obviously a concern. If that grows over time, particularly if it's a form of anti-science, anti-technology, Luddite religious extremism, then it's an obvious threat. I won't mention the third threat to civilization. For me, you'd want to have a future where there is a space-spanning civilization, where our species is out there exploring the stars. From an evolutionary standpoint, human consciousness has not been around very long. A little light just went on after 4.5 billion years. How often does that happen? Maybe it is quite rare. In fact, it would appear to be quite rare, or others out there with a consciousness are very good at hiding. If it is such a rare thing, then we should do whatever we can to ensure its long-term survival. Close quote. Indeed we should, Mr. Musk. There was a bright light that went on some 50 or 60,000 years ago, when the Northern Hemisphere's extreme environment brought a new human subspecies into being, European man. From that explosion of light came the Parthenon, Maxwell's equations, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the double slit experiment, and SpaceX Corporation. We have a responsibility to that heritage and to the possible future in the stars that that heritage has made possible. How can you best serve the purpose of higher consciousness and higher man? Again, I hope you do not see me as arrogant when I suggest that you probably must denounce or ignore me in public, or even with your billions and your considerable wit, risk being crushed by the same forces that crushed James Watson when he spoke the truth. But in private, I hope you will use all the wealth and all the force and energy at your disposal to ensure that the human colonies on other worlds that we have yet a chance to found with your help before we are subsumed by the rising tide are populated entirely and only by the highest types of European man, and that we do not make the most tragic mistake possible, that of exporting our own devolutionary racial problems to the surface of another world. And I hope that you will also, with proper prudence and precautions, make certain that those who are now risking their lives, their reputations, their fortunes, and their personal futures to prevent the genocide of our uniquely beautiful and creative race and bring higher man into being on this planet are provided with the support they need to expand and succeed in their noble endeavors. Sincerely, and with all good wishes, Kevin Alfred Strong. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com, that's NATALL.com, or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout to the sky.